So tonight, Yud Zayin Elul is the yahrzeit, an individual who I didn't know for long, didn't know that well, but left us, left his influence. And I wanted to say something L'ilui Nishmosoi, and I think it's relevant to all of us in terms of the message. His name was Edwin Cohen, Yeshaya Reb Yehuda HaKohen. And he lived in the San Fernando Valley, passed away at the beginning of the 80s. Must have been 81, 82, I think. And I want to tell a little bit of a story and then take from there an extension and a message that I hope could be beneficial. It was the summer, like a little bit before Elul, a couple of weeks before now, and we had the yeshiva there, high school. We had started a number of years before. There were already graduates who had gone on to study in yeshivas in New York and in Israel, and they were back for the summer, about five of them, I think it was, five or six good boys. And there was discussion going on about their staying in Los Angeles for the year to learn. It would be a very big chizuk to the Beis Medrash, because he just had a small token Beis Medrash where he tried to send everybody out of town. And a chizuk for the high school. It would have been a wonderful thing for everyone. But they had a condition. And the condition was not just that I continue to give a shir in the Beis Medrash, as I had been doing, but that I spend the whole morning Seder in the Beis Medrash to be able to talk to them and learning in this, because it's a small group and they would feel they need that extra attention. I was a bit hesitant, to say the least, because I had outstanding chovos from previous years in the hundreds of thousands. I had to raise a couple more hundred thousand for the coming year. Didn't have anyone else who was doing that. And I had to teach in high school and here and there. It was like 4 hours a day, prime time. Seemed very difficult. I didn't want to make a rash decision, so I said, you know, give me 24 hours. I went home, I asked my wife, and she says, it's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Omer Reb Nechunya ben Hakum, Paragimel, Pirkei Avos. Hamekabi lolev oil toiro, ma'aviru menu oil malchus, oil derech eretz. One who accepts the burden of Torah and the burden of Malchus, government, to me that meant payroll taxes, and Derech Eretz is removed. Parnosa. If you're Makabal, the old Torah. I said, made up my mind, I'm Makabal. I remember sleeping very well that night. Like, that's it, no more. No more oil, Malchus, oil, Derech Eretz. Next day I come in, I tell the Chevra, Rosh Chodesh Elul, that's it, B'li Nedim, I'll be in the Beis Medrash. Well, to make a long story short, that night I met somebody, Bimikre, who told me his father wants to talk to me. His father has somebody in one of his buildings and this, and I speak to the father. I want to introduce you to someone in one of my buildings. He's living in a terrible matzav. He's very sick. This place is a mess and terrible things. Maybe you could send in the yeshiva guys to clean up, to help, to get him some stuff, to help him out. And he did say at the end, who knows, maybe he has a couple of bucks, you know, to give the yeshiva, but it was very unlikely. I came to meet with him. He lived in a terrible matzav, terrible, terrible. It was the apartment was filthy and full with his schoira from his business, and he couldn't move in that apartment. And indeed, I had to get him some food, the fruit that day, and I had to reconnect his telephone. He was mamish, kefer lecha matzav. But, okay, we try to help him out. After that, I sent in the yeshiva guys to clean up, to help him out. Very nice. About 2 weeks later, he took very sick and was in the hospital. Went to visit him, and we didn't know at the time, but that was the last day that he still knew what was really going on, you know, of sound mind. And he wanted to write a will. And he left the yeshiva as the beneficiary of his estate. He had no idea how much money he had. He asked me, how much do you need? I was embarrassed to tell him. I said, maybe $100,000. I don't know, maybe you'll have it. He passed away Yud Zayin Elul, which was 2 weeks later, whatever. He left the yeshiva $1 million.
Wow.
And to me, it was really the literal trust in the words of Chazal, which equated to trusting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the schus that entitles us to all types of yeshua. Hamekabel olav ol teira, ma'avir men ol malchus ol derech eretz. That's what it says. Finished. And if you take that as reality, then I'm relying on what Chazal say, and relying on what Chazal say is relying on a Kodesh Baruch Hu, because that's what he says. If you're mekabel the old Torah, who will be mavir? I will be mavir the old malchus will derech eretz. So it's a promise, and bitochin with a promise is a different level of confidence, because the bitochin that we normally have to have is, or oftentimes is, without a promise. I don't really have a promise. I have a promise, Paseches Yodecho Masbi'a L'chol Chai Rotzoi. He'll give us sustenance. We'll live, we'll have food to eat. Do I have a promise I'm going to be so matzliach in my business? Do I have a promise I'm going to get this, that, and the other thing that I need? But here, Chazal say, there's a promise. Amekabel olav oil teru ma'avir me'al machus derechas. You accept it, you believe it, you act upon it, which is to a certain degree a statement of your confidence in it, you know. And then, that's bitochen in Hashem, and to the Baal bitochen, Hashem responds. And we find
the act of doing it, even though you're not on the level of really, I mean, you actually believe it enough, obviously, because you're doing it. But let's just say you're really not on that level. So what? How could that really be? But I'm doing it because that's the right thing to do.
So
is that a level that would be also deserving of that kind of?
So I always quote here that the Chofetz Chaim writes at the letter, we brought it here numerous times, that kifi goydel habitochon, kach goydel ha'atzlocha. So let's commensurate. I would say that had I really had bitochon over here, I would have had millions of dollars, not just $1 million. But I guess the action was somewhat indicative. I undertook that, and I kept the commitment too, and I had such, so something, you know.
Million.
So it was only $1 million. It would have been a lot more. By the way, $1 million in those days was a shtickle geld. You know what I mean? It's not like today. Anyway, so that was one. We find that there are other such havtochas in Chazal. And a havtocha from Chazal is a havtocha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And a havtocha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is easier to rely on than just the fact that I just know he does chesed. V'ani b'chastecho b'tachti. Yogei libi b'shu asecha. Because I know that you do so much chesed, I'm counting on you to do this. But I didn't promise you. It's not a promise. Here, there's promises. So we know there are other promises too. There's a promise of Maiser, Aser to Aser, Aser b'shvil shetisasher. Upchonuni no bozois, the Pasuk says. Test me, Hashem says. And Mefarshim explained, because this promise is so ironclad that Hashem says you could test me, because if you do it to test me, it won't be like you're doing it tentatively. Well, I'm doing it, I don't really mean to do it. I just, only if I get rich, I want to do it. It's like an asmachta. No, it's 100%. It's going to happen. But maybe you could test me, because the test will not detract from the total gemiras das that you have to do the action. Now, it's an interesting piece in the Goyin. The Goyin writes in his Igeres HaGro, in a letter to his wife when he attempted to travel to Eretz Yisrael. He held a jafti, chomesh, whatever, it's a machlekes poiskim, says, don't give less. Because if you give less, then your ma'iso, your chomesh, it's ke'ilu kofar b'chol ha'tera kula. It's as if you deny the whole Torah. And I always announce when I say this over, in my vast bekiyas, there's no such ma'amar chazal. My vast bekiyas is based on the fact that the modern versions of Igeres HaGro don't bring a Maariv Mokum. So I know they must have researched it intensely. And there's no Maariv Mokum for this Maariv Chazal. So there is no Maariv Chazal. So where's he getting it from? The Goyim can make up a Chazal? If you don't give Maaser Kilu Kofar B'Kol HaTorah Kulo. So I thought, push it. It says Aser B'Shvil Shetes Asher. Do you believe it? Then why are you not giving? You're going to get rich. So why are you not giving? Tell us you don't believe in Chazal. If you're koifer ba'is echo b'chazal, it's gilu kofer b'kol haTorah Kulo. But I have a kasha on that. The Rebbetzin could answer like this. She could say, Rabbein, I believe that I'm going to get rich. That doesn't mean tomorrow. Like she'yarchiv, give ma'is, you'll get rich. But I need fish for Shabbos. If I give the money now, I won't have fish for Shabbos. So for that, I found in a psikta, and I think the Chofetz Chaim brings it also in Abbas Chesed, that there's two droshes, aser to aser, aser b'shvil shetisasher, aser sheloi tischaser. And I think what that means is as follows: l'ksheyarchiv, you'll get rich. But in time right now, you don't have money for Shabbos. You don't have fish for Shabbos.
L'ksheyarchiv means what?
What?
L'ksheyarchiv is going on what?
Eventually, you'll eventually become rich. You're going to become rich. Give mais, you'll become rich. But right now, you don't have fish for Shabbos. Don't worry. Aser shaloi tischaser. The money that you give away, you will never be lacking. You'll never miss that money. That's a havtocha from Chazal. Aser shaloi tischaser. And therefore, so Mamela, the Rebbetzin, if she wouldn't give today, then she's koifer b'kol haTorah Kulo, because she's koifer kiyu koifer b'kol haTorah Kulo, because she's koifer in a droshes Chazal. Droshes Chazal are the ultimate reality. Chazal tell us something. It's a promise from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that this is the way it's going to be. Memele, in a certain sense, it's the easiest exercise, not exercise, but exercising bitochon that we can have, because there's a promise. Promise. He's certainly good for his promises. Now, yes, in a promise there is also such a thing as Shemagoram Hachet, that we find by Yaakov Avinu. There is such a thing as Shemagoram Hachet. Then we have to overpower that with the fact that there's Chesed Hashem. But in addition to the Chesed Hashem, which helps us emotionally overpower the Shemagoram Hachet, there's another ingredient. I have Haftocha. So the person who's afraid, maybe I'm still not deserving, maybe I'm not even worthy of the Haftocha. So I still have, though, I know Hashem's chesed, I feel Hashem's chesed, therefore I believe He'll give it to me. And besides that, there is a promise. So it's like almost like I have to be very, very unworthy in order not to get this. So Memele, it certainly makes it much easier to have bitochen because I know that. It could be, though, something else. It could be, and it's very likely that it is, that the haftocha that's made of aser b'shir shetisasher, since it says, Ubchonuni no bezois, Hashem says, you could test me, that on this one, there's no other ingredient of whether I deserve it. There's no Shemagorim Hachet on Aser B'Shvil Shetisasher. Because if there was, if it was possible to undermine the Havtocha with one's Averis, then why is Ubchonuni no bezois? Why? What do you mean test me? You can't test me because for sure I'm going to deliver. What do you mean? Maybe I'm not worthy. So that, I would say that's a thought, something to think about. I want to go to another inyan, which I think is also an example, and there are many more. Chazal say, they give advice of preserving one's money. Okay? What's the advice? Very interesting advice. A three-word advice. Simple. Malach mamoinoi choser. If you want to salt your money, which is a preservative, you want to preserve your money, give it away. Choser. I guess it doesn't mean give it away frivolously. Give the tzedakah. Give the maisa. That is a mechanism, not of losing money. It's a mechanism of preserving money. Tzedakah, maisa specifically, is an investment. And it's a very interesting investment because on that particular Gemara in Ksubis is the famous Gemara with Nagdima Ben Gurion that says Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai was riding along, and he saw this lady dressed with shabby clothing, eating from the dirt of the food, malaklekas, the ashpas, tanagoylim, I think it says, some terrible thing. And he says, who are you, Basmiya? She says, I'm the daughter of Nakhdim Ben-Gurion. Nakhdim Ben-Gurion, he was the richest man. He was the parnas of Yerushalayim. Where's all your father's money? And he said, more, he said to her, I signed on your ksuba for 1,000,000 dinrei zohav, for 1,000,000 gold coins. So what happened to all your money, your father's money? She says, Chazal were not fooling around when they said, Malach Mamoy Nechoser. When you give away your money, if you want to keep your money, give it away. So Gemara is the Kasha. Nakhdima Ben Gurion was the partner of Yerushalayim, the biggest Balstoker. There's Maisim, the Floim, with this, with the Roman, with the water, with the this, with all kinds of things, you know, with the. And Adkid the Kachmur says that the Aniyim used to put out a red carpet when he walked, because he was such a parnas, you know, and they had such respect for him because everything he did. So the Gemara gives two terutzim. The Gemara says, one terutz must be that he didn't give as much as he could have. Could have given more. The other terutz, the Gemara says, maybe something in the terms of the kavona, maybe wasn't. Now, this doesn't necessarily say that we're talking about maiser. We're talking about malach mamon choser. So I don't know exactly what that means, and I don't know how to work it out, but I do know from all of this that there is such a thing that the best investment to preserve wealth is to give it away. There were articles.
I bet if you don't have it, what's the best investment to get it?
That's the next discussion, okay? Thank you for leading me into the next discussion, okay? The next one. Gemara Nida. Gemara Nida Ayin Amid Beis. Horoitza Sheyesasha. No? Yarba b'mischa. Gotta do a lot of business. Get a lot of schoira, sell.
Are you busy teaching Torah?
Wait. The Gemara has its own kasha. First we'll take the Gemara's kasha. Frek the Gemara. Harbe yosuke veloy also be yodom. Many people did. Were marbe b'mischa. They did a lot of business. And they weren't matzliach. Elo zok the Gemara. Yevakish rachamim mimisha ha'oisher shaloi. You have to ask rachamim from the Baal ha'oisher, the one who controls, owns all the money. Then the Gemara continues and asks, if that's the case, so why did we say yasuk yarba b'mischa if it's totally in rachamim? And Rashi learns that since it's totally in rachamim, so why do we say yarba b'mischa? So the Gemara answers, it's a tnai. Zebel zelo sagi. You need this tnai. But vice versa from Rashi, it's really totally in rachamim. Same thing, the same Gemara right before or right after. It says by chochma. I think it's right before. It's totally in rachamim. The only thing is, there's a tnai. You have to put in the effort. You have to be marba b'schera if you want to be rich. You have to be marba b'schera. If you want to be okay, then you don't have to be marba b'schera. If you want to be even less than that, get a job teaching, you know what I mean? Something like that. But that's it. Whatever, you know, but it's only a tanai. That means that really it's totally barachamim. Now, this is also something that it's real. This is the reality. The reality is it's not dependent on the hishtadlus. The hishtadlus is a condition. So you shouldn't sit around doing nothing and get into trouble because atzlus is a bad thing, because we don't want people to rely on miracles to take away from this chus, whatever the reason may be. But the etzem thing itself is totally berachamim. Ashirus is totally berachamim. Now, here again, we have an opportunity to believe or not to believe what Chazal say. Okay. We do hishtablus, maybe we even marba b'schera, and we're mevakesh rachamim. But what if I think that it's the ribui schera that makes the difference rather than the bakoshes rachamim? So I'm not really relying on the formula that Chazal gave. Because Chazal gave, it's totally rachamim. That means my belief has to be my ashirus is totally in my bakoshes rachamim. How am I davening? How much bakosha did I make? How sincere is that bakosha? That's what it's totally, and that's the reality. That's the gurim. That's the factor. The other thing is a tanai. if a person puts his trust in the Tanai rather than in the Haftocha that Chazal give, got it backwards. So we have to, as much as we have to do Ishtadlus, and Chazal say beforeish, if you want to be rich, it's Riboy Ishtadlus. Most people that became, most people. Again, if you want to be rich, this is what you should do. There could be some people that had a mazel to be rich. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta has a whole mimer. We don't know a person's mazel. He could be born, he was supposed to be rich. A person could be born, so there's a mazel, there's a teva. I don't know exactly how it works, but there is such a thing. He's supposed to be poor, it's supposed to be this, but we can change it. That's the Pshat Tosa says, there's a steer in the Gemara. The Gemara says in one place, ain't mazel Yisrael. That's probably what you would bother. Ain't mazel Yisrael. Then the Gemara says, bonov, chayov, umezoine, toli b'mazel. His children, his sustenance, and his parnosa, or his life, excuse me, his life and his parnosa, toli b'mazel. So Tosa says, ain't mazel Yisrael means like this. Avada, we're born with a certain mazel. But we have the kelim to change it. Through our tefillas, through our mitzvahs, through our schusim, through our bitochen, we have the ability to influence that mazel. But if a person should be marbu b'schera if that's what he wants. That doesn't mean a person who's not marbu b'schera doesn't have a mazel, he couldn't become rich. Then people become rich automatically. It happens, you know, sometimes for other reasons. Sometimes we find with Holocaust survivors, I have no doubt that sometimes it's just an entitlement because they suffered so much. They need something, you know. Once a very wealthy Holocaust survivor told me that this was 30 years after the war, 40 years after the war, I remember, 40 years at least. So he told me, he said, there isn't a night, I don't wake up with a nightmare. 40 years later. But Hashem helped them. At least you have money, you have this, you do things, you do mitzvahs, you give story, I feel good, you know, something. So I don't know. But one thing we do, and if you want to be rich, you should be marbu b'schera. But stick to the blueprint. The blueprint says it's toli berachamim. The ribui b'schera is just a t'nai. If you put the t'nai before the iker and say the ribui b'schera is what's doing it for me, which oftentimes seems to be what's happening, because according to how much I work, that's how much I get. But no, it's just the fulfillment of the t'nai. So just like this, so we're not really listening, we're not really trusting Chazal, because we should be trusting that Hashem's going to have rachamim. And the ribui b'schera is just a time. I'd like to give one more example, which I think works the same way. And that is, and again, the concept is that a promise from Chazal is really a means of focusing our bitochon on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is Shluchi Mitzvah Einu Nizokin. As I'll say, more in Psochim, that Shluchi Mitzvah, people who go on a Shlichus to do a Mitzvah, will not be damaged. Loi b'halichoson, v'loi b'chazaroson. Not when they go, and they even get the pass to come back. So, but there too, Chazal say Shluchi Mitzvah Einu Nizokin. So, if I'm going on a Shlichus Mitzvah, and I'm... I don't know, not so sure. I hope so. That's what it says. I'm not an apocryphalist, I don't deny it. But I'm not so confident in it. So then we're denying Chazal. In a sense, we're doing what the Goyim told his Rebbetzin not to do, because you're being paid for the Divrei Chazal. You're not giving the Maisa because you're afraid you're not going to have enough. You're nervous. Why? Because you're not sure. Shluchim Mitzvah in Nizokin. Mitzat Sheni. We have the opportunity, if we rely on that. Now I have all of a sudden an impetus, all of a sudden a means, all of a sudden an inspiration to take me to a higher level. Not just that I say I have bitochen in the Chesed Hashem, but I go to a higher level where I can feel that Hashem has promised, and I'm counting on His promise. And if, in fact, we count on His promise, it's a whole different world. And I'd like to just conclude with a story. I can't document the story, and I have actually a kasha from the sugya in the Gemara on the story. But the story I've seen written, I've heard it over, and it seems to be a reliable story. But it gives us the sense of, you know, what Torah is and what Chazal are, and even what Meirei Hoira and Psak Halacha is. It's a famous story that a woman comes to Reb Moshe Feinstein with a terrible problem. She has two husbands. Two husbands is a no-no in Judaism. Ain't no way you can have that. Cherem Rabbeinu Gershom or not. There's no way you can have two husbands. What happened? She says her first husband disappeared during the war. And they searched all over. They couldn't locate him. She said she got a heter aguna from this great rabbi who lived in her area there. And she remarried. She says the rabbi passed away. It was many years ago. She lost the document. And all of a sudden, 40 years later, her first husband comes. She remarried. She has a second husband. And she's here with her two husbands, her first husband, second husband. Moshe, the gentle soul that he was, starts to scream, Sheker, Sheker, Senish Demis, Senish Getrofen Azeh. What, where? They didn't know where did Moshe come from. And she broke down and she told the truth. She said her first husband, Taka, disappeared. They couldn't find him. She heard that this great rabbi had passed away. She claimed that she got a heter aguna from this rabbi. She then subsequently was able to remarry. She convinced the rov, I don't know what she did, but she remarried. And now, 40 years later, her first husband comes back. Din is teitzim izum izum. It's very, very bad news. Anyway, so they asked Reb Moshe, you know, while you're playing games, what were you screaming, yelling, the poor lady? I mean, do you ever see a tzabrocha in a person like that, tzora like that? I mean, I have two husbands. What could be a greater tzora than that, you know? So he said he knew the rov. Yeah, what?
His wives.
Anyway, he knew the rov, and he knew he was a big Talmud Chochem, and he knew had the rov given her a heter aguna, the husband couldn't come back. It couldn't happen. Huh. It couldn't happen.
This is the shmaya that he had.
That's right. It couldn't happen. So here you see an amazing thing. This is not a Maimer Chazal. This is not a Haftocha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But this is the koyach of a Psak Halocha. If there was a legitimate, bona fide Psak Halocha that this woman is married, meaning that her husband is not going to return, then Reb Moshe was sure he relied on that psak, and her husband couldn't return. And Taka, there was no such heter aguna, and that's why her husband was able to return. Anyway, so I think that, and there's so many more examples of Chazal where they tell us things that if you do this, this is going to happen. If you do this, this is going to happen.
What's the kashrut from the Gemara on this?
What?
What's the kashrut?
I don't remember. I just mention it just in case somebody comes up with it. Okay. There's something there with the Rashi where we were learning that sugya that supposed to believe. I don't recall. I'm sorry. I'm sure if you look over there, you'll see it. But I have to work it out. I think we worked it out, but it was not so partial. Anyway, so I think that's the idea. We have to recognize, and there are many more things like this that Chazal say, but the idea is that take Chazal literally. And I must say that in terms of this individual, this Edwin Cohen, this Rabbi Udle, Rabbi Yeshaya Cohen, that he was Zeiche in the last moment of his life to be Koino Elam B'Shoachas. He gave away everything he had to Tzlokah, which he was not a religious man, he was not, you know, he had no shaykhus to this world. He grew up in America, he didn't know anything, he never went to school, you know, he must have gone to a Hebrew school, who knows what he did. But he was Zeiche, Yesh Koino Elam B'Shoachas. But he was Zeiche because, I mean, I can't say why he was Zeiche, but the Goyrim, the direct Goyrim, was the extent to which a woman reads Pirkei Avos and takes it literally. Now, it was not in the best interest of this woman to tell her husband not to work and just to sit in the Beis Medrash for 4 hours. But she knew that it wasn't her best interest. And maybe it was even selfish. Because she knew that if Chazal say, I'm a kabel olav oil teira ma'avir mimeno malchus ol derech eretz, that's the ultimate reality. That's the facts of life. And that's the truth. Sure.